Today's Shir Masechta Zvachim Daf Nun Tes. We will begin on Daf Nun Chesim Beis, two lines from the bottom of Shrab Yama. Yesterday we had begun the Perek by learning that Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah said that not only is the halacha that one could bring kachi kachim on the Mizbeach itself, but the halacha is actually that you could bring it on anywhere in the Mizbeach. And Rabbi Yochanan, in explaining Rabbi Yossi's opinion, said, because Rabbi Yossi holds that the entire Mizbeach is located on Tzofen. And since the entire Mizbeach is located on the Tzofen, so of course that's why the halacha is, you could bring the Kach Kachim anywhere in the Mizbeach, because all of it is Tzofen. To which the Gemara attempted to find a Mishnah that would support that position, that opinion, that Rabbi Yossi holds that the entire Mizbeach is in the Tzofen. And the Gemara brought such a Mishnah, which spoke about where the Marocha Shnia, the place from which they took the wood when they needed to take wood from the Mizbeach Achitzin into the Beis HaMikdash, where the Marocha Shnia was located in the Mizbeach, which would support an opinion that the Mizbeach was in the Tzofen. But then the Gemara, at the end of our Shia, said that from where would we necessarily know that that is actually the opinion of Rabbi Yossi? It's presumably, the Gemara said, the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. To which, at that point, that was what we're up to in the Shia. Now, says the Gemara of Shrabi Amma, we can actually say that the Mishnah is Rabbi Yossi in our Mishnah, is Rabbi Yossi Bechalifta. And that Mishnah that says that it's that the Mizbeach was in the north was Rabbi Yossi Haglili. And therefore, we can't bring a raya from that Mishnah to here. The Tanya, where do we find that Rabbi Yossi Haglili holds that the Mizbeach wasn't softened? Says the Gemara, the Tanya, Rabbi Yossi Haglili, Rabbi Yossi Haglili teaches us, Shenemar, the Pasuk says, the Torah says that the Kiyah should be located between in the Azara, between the Mizbeach and the Beis HaMikdash. And the Pasuk also says, that the Pasuk is teaching us that the Mizbeach should be facing the entrance to the Beis HaMikdash. HaMizbeach for Pesach HaMoed, there should be the Mizbeach facing the entrance to the Ayel Moed. For like Kiyah Pesach Ayel Moed, nothing else should be there. The Kiyah should not be interrupting between the Mizbeach and the Ayel Moed. So how did that work? Heichan Ayel Nois Noi, exactly where did they place the Kiyah? Ben Ulam Mizbeach, they put the Kiyah between the entrance to the Ulam, which as we explained in our previous year, is the foyer that's in front of the Heichel, Moshech Kuma, drawn a little to the south side. The Ravid points out that the halacha is that a Kohen who didn't wash his hands and feet is not allowed to walk into that area by the Ulam Mizbeach. So now we have a problem. How could he go here? We know we spoke extensively that every Kohen before he does the Avodah has to wash himself from the Kiyar. And here, how could he walk? He can't even walk into that area. Says the Ravid, interestingly, when we speak about the need for the Kohen to wash his hands from the Kiyar, to wash his hands and feet from the Kiyar before he does an Avodah, that's for doing the Avodah of the Kabbonis. However, he suggests that regarding coming into the place, coming into the spot, you just have to wash your hands, not necessarily from the Kiyar. And therefore, the Ravid says, well, what happened is that the Kohen would wash his hands and feet, not from the Kiyar. That would allow him to walk into this area that we are now speaking about. And once he walked into this area that we're now speaking about, he could wash his hands and feet from the Kiyar before he does any avoid on the kabbanis. Continues the Gemara. Micah Sover. What is Rabbi Yosef Galili's opinion that he said that the kiyur had to be pushed to the south side of the Mizbeach, which is in itself a difficulty, because the pasuk says, that the kiyur should be put between the oil moed and the Mizbeach, and now we're not doing that. And the Gemara explains its question. Ik Sover, if his opinion is the kul Mizbeach b'dar mekoy, that the entire Mizbeach is on the south side of the Azara Nukme, so then I have a perfect place to put the kiyur. Look to put b'makom kais lahechel u'darim b'enul Mizbeach. Why don't you just put the kiyur not by the wall of the hechel in the south, b'enul Mizbeach? We don't have to put it to the south. We don't have to put it to the south of the Mizbeach, because if the Mizbeach is completely in the south, we could put the kiyur anywhere along that wall that will be between the Ulam and the Mizbeach, and not interrupting between the Mizbeach and the Ulam. And even if we'll say that that entire entrance is considered part of the Mizbeach, so Nukme, put the kiyur, even if it's not facing the door of the Ulam, because Ulam Ludorim, Ben Ulam Mizbeach. Why do you have to put it all the way further away from, why was it necessary to put it away further from the Mizbeach? Vinem Kesover, and even if he holds Chetz B'Tzof and Chetz B'Darim, half of it in the Tzof, it's 60, as we said, the Mizbeach is 32 amas wide, and we'll say 16 is in the Tzof and 16 is in the Darim. So then, Nukmi, Kaisaychel Darim, Be'erul Mizbeach, put the kiyur between the entrance of the Ulam and the Mizbeach, Vinem Kesover, put it there, and you'll be able to have the kiyur, and you won't be blocking any of the entrance. And there's still room. In other words, the entrance took up 10 amos. So don't put it in those 10 amos, but you could put it anywhere after the 10 amos, or in this case, it wouldn't even be 10 amos, it would be 5 amos, because 5 is on the half the Mizbeach is this way and half the Mizbeach is that way. And like that, it'll be room to put it there. Even if you'll hold Kedushas Eilam Eichel Hu Chadu, it's one. Nukmi Kaisa Ulam Udarim Ben Ulam Mizbeach. Yes, you'll have room for the opening. I put the kiyur anywhere else. El Lav. It must be Mishum the Kesava Kul Mizbeach B'Tzofen, that he holds that the entire Mizbeach was on the Tzofen side. If the entire Mizbeach was on the Tzofen side, that's why you had to put, and you want to have the kiyur between them, you want to put the kiyur somewhere, you're going to have to put it on the south side, even though it's not in front of the Mizbeach. Ask the Gemara of the Nukmei, why is that what's necessary? The Nukmei Be'er Hechel Tzofen, why don't you just put it after the entrance to the Hechel, right afterwards on the north side? Says the Gemara, Kesavar, he is obviously of the opinion that Kedushas Hechel Ulam Chada. So, Kinami Mukmas Lo Mikais Hechel Tzofen, Havle Ben Ulam Zbeach, you can still put it there just after the entrance. The Nukmei Mikais Ulam Tzofen, Ben Ulam Zbeach, just have the room for the entire entrance, not just the entrance of the Hechel, but even the entrance of the Ulam. And like that, afterwards, immediately afterwards, put in the kiyur. Amakra, says the Gemara, the reason why putting it over there, if you hold that the Mizbeach was tzofen, it's not an option to put it so after the entrance. And even if you say the entrance is to include not just the entrance of the Hechel, but even the entrance of the Ulam, the Torah says, Sofaina, that you can't put anything on the tzofen side. And since you can't put anything on the tzofen side, that becomes no longer an option. So Tosfos asks that we do find the different kelim were put in the tzofen. So he says that all the kelim that were on the tzofen side, there were kelim that were used in the shechita of the animal. And since, as we learned so many times in our shiurim, that the shechita, particularly of the kachi kachim, was done b'tzafin. So since the shechita was done b'tzafin, there's no option but to put the kalim, to put those kalim, which are part of the procedure of doing shechita, in the tzafin. But the kir, which is not part of the shechita process, the Torah says tzafina, that it shouldn't be put over there, says the Gemara. So from what we've just learned, we are able to understand that Rabbi Yosef Aglila's opinion is that the kir could not, the whole mizbeach was on the tzafin side, and therefore it's impossible, given all the explanations we've just given, to put the kir anywhere on the tzafin side, because we just learned tzafina, that that place has to be left open from any kalim. And therefore, as we began the shiur today, when the Torah says that the kir should be an oil moed ben mizbeach, you put it on the side, on the south side, facing the entrance into the Beis HaMikdash, even though there's no mizbeach on that side. So now we see that Rabbi Yossi Aglili's opinion is that the mizbeach was tzafin. So says Rabbi Shabya, the Mishnah that we learned yesterday, Masechet Tamid, that indicated is that the that Rabbi Yossi holds that the mizbeach was in tzafin, represents the opinion of Rabbi Yossi Aglili. But when Rabbi Yochanan said that Rabbi Yossi in our Mishnah, who's Rabbi Yossi Bechalafta, holds that the mizbeach was in tzafin, there's no proof from that Mishnah that Rabbi Yossi Bechalafta holds that way. Says the Gemara, Man Tana the Palaglad Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Says the Gemara, who is the Tana that disagrees with Rabbi Yossi Aglili, that doesn't agree that the mizbeach was completely in the tzafin? Says the Gemara, it's Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakovi. The Tanya of Elazar ben Yaakov, Oimer tzfoina she tzofen poinim miklum afilum in a mizbeach. He holds that the word tzofen comes to say that you don't even have the mizbeach on the tzofen side. Clearly, not like Rabbi Yossi Aglili. But we have three opinions exactly where the mizbeach was. We have the opinion of Elazar ben Yaakov that we just learned that the mizbeach was completely in the south side. We have the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that we discussed at the end of our previous year that says half of it was Bedarim and half of it was Betzofen. And we have the opinion of Rabbi Yosef Glili that we just studied in our Mishnah that it was Kuloi Betzofen. And Rabbi Yochanan has said that Rabbi Yosef of our Mishnah, who is Rabbi Yosef Mechalefta, also holds that way that the Mizbeach was Kuloi Betzofen. Says the Gemara Amarav. Mizbeach shenifkam. If the mizbeach has any pegima, and the way I saw the Rishonim is that if there's a nick, everything has to be perfectly smooth. If there's any nick on the stones on the mizbeach, kol hakotchim shenishchetu sham, any kabanas that were slaughtered in the Azara, the kabanas, as we know, are not brought on the mizbeach, they're slaughtered in the Azara, the halacha will be that anything that was brought in the Azara on while the Mizbeach was in such a status, psulim. Umikra hu, and then he says, Rav says, we had a pasuk that supports what I just said, v'shachnua, and I forgot that pasuk. So the way to understand the Gemara, that not only is the halacha that the shechita that's done on the Mizbeach, anything that's on the Mizbeach, when the Mizbeach is pogum, is possible. But what we're learning here is that the shechita that's done while the Mizbeach is in that status is possible. What would be the halacha if the shechita was done when the Mizbeach was fine, and after that the Mizbeach developed this blemish? According to Rav, that's not what Rav is speaking about. But what happens now is a new consideration. And that's a consideration of nira v'nitra, that something was good and it became disqualified. And that becomes a discussion which we've already had previous shiurim. What is the halacha regarding something that was okay, and then nitra, and then it became disqualified. However, if the mizbeach, so the way the Rishonim explain, Nir of a nitcha, something that was qualified and became disqualified, is certainly no good. The question is, if when you shechted the animal, it wasn't, the mizbeach was nifkam, was blemished, what will be the halacha then? There was never nira. There was not good in the first place. Do we apply the concept of nitcha in that case as well? And what the Mefarshim say is that what Rav has come to teach us, that even in a case where it was never nira, do we say this concept? Says the Gemara Kisolok, Rav Kahana. When Rav Kahana came from Eretz Yisrael, from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, Ashkel Rav Shimon Barebi, he met Rav Shimon Barebi, the Kama Shimon Shmo Barebi, I see, Menayim was Barech Shanifkam, Shekala Kotshim Shanishkut Tushan Psalom, that he asked this question, how do we know that Mizbech that becomes damaged, any Kotshim that a Shech, that a Apostle, Shanemar, the Pasuk says, Mizbech Adom Atasali, V'zavach Tolav Esel Esech V'shalai Shemecha, and the question is, V'chi Alav Atizavech, as we've been discussing from the beginning of our parak, that's not, the Mizbeach is not the place where they shechted kabanas. Ella, to teach us, k'shusholim, when could the shechita of kachim be considered valid? When the Mizbeach is sholim, v'loy k'shchaser. Olav teaches us that we can only shecht when the Mizbeach is in the proper status, says the Gemara. And Omar, when Rav Kahana heard what Rav Shimon Barebi was explaining, the pasuk, he says, hainu d'shtamalei l'rav. Rav just made a comment that I don't know which pasuk teaches us this halacha, and now he was able to identify that this is the source for that pasuk. And as I saw the Mefarshim explain, the pasuk, as we just said, cannot be explained as the simple definition. Could the simple explanation as pasuk means that you should check the carbon on the mizbeach, and we know that that's not true. I saw Tosfos asks, maybe what the Gemara has come to teach us is the din that we learned in our Mishnah, that if you did do the shechita on the mizbeach, it will be kosher. So says Tosfos, as we learned yesterday in our previous year, when the Torah said the word that we could check that anything that's done on Mizbech is kosher, we understood that that's only b'dievid. L'chatchila, it should not be put on the Mizbech. The word v'zavachta indicates that this is the way it should be done. And that can't be true, because you can't bring, nobody's going to suggest that that's the right thing to do. I saw that Chavetz Chaim says in the Lekutei Halachos that this halacha the Rav is telling us, that the Mizbeach should nifkam, any kachim that are slaughtered while the Mizbeach is nifkam is possible, doesn't only apply to the Mizbeach, it applies to the Kevesh, to the ramp leading to the Mizbeach as well. However, I saw that there are others that disagree with the Lekutei Halachos. There, the Shas HaTshuva Tzitz Eliezer has a discussion on this in Chelek Tes Simen Yud Gimel. And his opinion is that the halacha the Rav is teaching us is strictly about the Mizbeach and not about the Ram. Says the Gemara, Rav spoke, as we indicated, what would be the halacha regarding kachim that were slaughtered at the time that the Mizbeach is damaged? What happened about kachim? You have animals that are designated as kachim, but they weren't slaughtered while the Mizbeach is in disrepair. What will be the halacha? And Rav Yochanan now says that not only kachim that were slaughtered at a time that the Mizbeach was damaged, but even those that were not slaughtered at that time, soon. Why? So the way to understand Rav Yochanan's opinion is, because at the moment we were magdish those animals, they were nira, they were usable for kachim. Then when the Mizbeach became broken, they became disqualified. And that's the concept of nira v'nitcha, that the halacha is that something that's nira and then nitcha. And therefore, the halacha will be that those animals cannot be used for carbon either. However, points out Tosfos, That's only the halacha that we just said, that we designated the animal when the Mizbeach was okay. Then the Mizbeach got broken, so this animal cannot be used, and that's called Nira V'Nitcha. What would be the halacha if at the time that the animal was designated as Hegdish, the Mizbeach was already broken? So that's considered Dachi Mikara. And Dachi Mikara is not a problem. But Tosfos goes on to say that the Gemara Masechta the Gedushin, Dav Zayin Amud Beis, Rabbi Yochanan teaches us that something that was Dachi Mikara is considered Dachi. Why over here are we saying, as Tosfos, that if it's Dachi Mikara, it's not a problem? So Tosfos differentiates between two different types of Dachi Mikara. He says, when something's Dachi Mikara and it's not an hour per hour to change that then Dachi Mikara and Nira V'Nitcha have the same din. Over here, yes, it was Dachi Mikara, but even though it was Dachi Mikara, it was on a Mizbeach that could be fixed. In a case where it's fixable, we don't apply the concept of Dachi Mikara, even according to Rabbi Yochanan. So says the Gemara, we have here machloikus of Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. And what's the machloikus? If the animal was nearer v'netcha, what would be the halacha? Says my pligi, what's the machloikus based on? Says the Gemara, Rav's opinion is balachayim and in the dochim. Rabbi Yochanan saw the balachayim in the dochim. They're arguing if they say that we apply the concept of dochi on living animals. Rav says only an animal which is not alive do we say the concept of dochi. And therefore, he says, the animal that was slaughtered when the Mizbeach was broken becomes posel, becomes nitcha, and therefore it's nitcha, it remains nitcha forever. Rabbi Yochanan's opinion is that even the living animal, as we just explained, if you designated the animal when the Mizbeach was broken, that's also considered, that also, according to Rav, is, according to Rabbi Yochanan, considered the concept, it falls into the concept of Dachi. I saw that the Sefer Sirich Sarfei HaKodesh quotes Rabbanim and Peshitzcha. Says the Gemara that the lesson over here is that Balchai, Rav says something that's alive can never become Nitcha. He says that that's the basis of our doing tshuva. What is tshuva all about? He suggests that what tshuva is all about is that somebody's alive and he acted the wrong way. But what we're learning from here is that a person, even if he's, as long as he's Baal Chai, as long as he's alive, he always has the ability to repair himself. And therefore, Baal Chai, living things, on Baal Chai, living things, human beings specifically, are never nitcha. May say, ask the Gemara on Rav's opinion. The Brisa says, Kol HaKodshim Shehayu Achloi Nivna Mizbeach. Anything that was designated as Hegdish before the Mizbeach was built, Vakach Nivna Mizbeach, and then the Mizbeach was built, Psuim become Pasul. So ask the Gemara, what does Achloi Nivna mean? That means that you designated the animal when Klai Yisrael did not yet have a Mizbeach. And that's why the Dochi Mikara. So we see from here that something that is Dochi Mikara, we see from here that as soon as they were Magdish them, they were Dochi. And the Alochi is that the problem here is that afterwards that they became Dochi. Ella, how do we have to explain the Ma'aser? That they were in the Beis HaMikdash before the Beis HaMikdash were destroyed, and they were remained alive until the Beis HaMikdash Sheni. And this price is saying that those animals cannot be used. Why? Because even though they're living animals, they became Dochi. The Rav just said that the Balechayim, the living animals, don't become Dochi. Because if the Brice is teaching us, again, Achloi Nivra, so Achloi Nivra that you designated before the Beis HaMikdash was built, if that's the price that you were Magdish and Shechted the animal when there was no mizbeach, and then that's not balachayim. That's already an animal that was slaughtered. It must be that we designated an animal. Then the mizbeach, then the Beis Hamikdash got destroyed. So while it was destroyed, obviously you cannot use those animals. And we're learning here that afterwards they cannot be used because during the time that the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, they were dachui. Says the Gemara, there it's a different problem. Ha'iskan lehu. The animals became very old. There were 70 years of the Churban Nabayis between the Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Sheni. And the halacha is that anything that becomes, that's old, becomes too old, that's when it becomes disqualified. Nothing to do with the discussion of Dochi. And I saw that the Sefer Chashukei Chemed over here has a discussion, because this is obviously an important and sensitive discussion. What is considered Iskin, and what is the halacha about people who become older regarding their jobs, particularly in Avodas HaKadosh? He discusses, for example, that there was somebody that was a Rebbe in a yeshiva, and he's 70 years old, and the yeshiva wants him to retire, and he feels that he still has all of his strength, that he could do his job properly. Does the halacha require that when you have a person of that age, you could claim iskin, as our Gemara says, and because we say it's iskin, the retirement could be demanded from him. So he says that we know the Chazal teach us the ziknei talmid chachamim, kozman shemaskinim talmid chachamim, as they get older, datam es yeshevas aleihem, they become actually better. The Mishnah in Masechta Chulin Daf Chaf Dalet Amud Aleph teaches us regarding Kohanim that the things that elderly Kohanim could do, not Leviim, and sometimes Leviim, not Kohanim. And the Mishnah explains, Kohanim b'mumim psulim, a Kohen that's a Balmum is disqualified from doing the Avodah, but b'shonim, if he becomes older, he's kosher. Leviim, just the opposite. B'mumim k'sherim, b'shonim psulim. If they're Baal Mum, a Levi could do his Avoida, but if he comes too old, he can't do his Avoida. And the Gemara says, a Kayin, Tarabon, Kayin Mishyavish de Saris, a Kayin for when he brings two Saris that becomes a Godel, Achiaskin, Koshla Avoida. Ask the Gemara, Achiaskin, Akama, until when can a Kayin continue doing the Avoida? Amr Abulah, Amr Abchanina, Achiyersus, until his hands start to shake. The Gemara says, Amalav Rav Chanina, Shai ben Shmainim Shana. Rav Chanina was 80 years old. Vayomer Ragla Achas, he was able to stand on one foot. V'cholitz Menaloi, V'noil Menaloi. He could put on and take off his shoe, standing on one foot. And the Gemara says, Amar Chanina, Cham V'shemesh Sechassani Imi V'yaldusei. The way I was brought up helped me. Hein Amdali Beis B'Knosei. That we find that because, so he had the strength and the desire says, Tanya, Sova Beisa, if you have elderly people in the house, Simna Tova Beisa, that's a good sign. Elderly people are positive. The Ramah in Arachayim Simen Nun Gimel Sif Chavhei discusses a shatz about tefillah that got elderly, and he wants to ask his son to help him sometimes. And his son doesn't have the same nice voice as his father, but he's a very good person. The Ramah says that the father has a right to make such a request. But we see from here that a person, even though he's elderly, could still remain the shatz. The Gemara explains in Masechta Sanhedrin, an elderly person, a person who's unable to have children, somebody who doesn't have children, cannot become a member of Beis Din. And Rashi says, Zaken means somebody who's so old already that he doesn't remember what it means to bring up children, and he doesn't have that sympathy that younger people have. And the Gemara and the Rishonim says that the Rebbeinu Yonah over there in Masechta Sanhedrin says, shame, shame, Shivin Zaken Sanhedrin. Maybe we shouldn't appoint a Zaken to be a member of the Sanhedrin. Kachem Hayu Zaken, that if he's a Zaken, Masalkin Asai. But the Shura Knesset Agdoyla quotes, Rambam says that if a person was appointed to be a member of the Sanhedrin when he was a young person, then he becomes elderly, or even if he becomes a Soros, he's not removed. And therefore, the Mefarshim explained that we really have to look at the situation. And certainly if the person is elderly, but he has all of the same traits of a young person, the halacha is that he could be a member. And certainly he should not be removed. And therefore, this discussion that about Iskin, that he became this elderly, is a interesting discussion. Ramosha and Digris Moshe Chashemishbet Chelak Aleph Simon M. Zion, Simon Ayin Zion, discusses that there's a yeshiva where the board of directors want to remove a certain Rebbe from it being the yeshiva. So, and the question is, do they have the right to remove him? And Ramosha writes there, as long as the Rebbe is doing his job properly, and one of the things that he says means doing your job properly means coming to the job on time. And he says that even if the board of directors have in the contract that they have a right to remove a Rebbe, says the Gemara, says Rav Moshe, that that contract cannot supersede what the halacha says. And therefore, if this person could still do his job properly, and the fact that they want to remove him and they have this legal authority, their legal authority cannot go against what it says in the Torah. And therefore, the halacha is that the it cannot be so easily removed. But, of course, he concludes, he says that we have to look at every situation individually. And we have to look at this Rebbe's ability, to continue working and do the best on behalf of the Talmidim. If he can continue working and do the best on behalf of the Talmidim, then the halacha is that he can remain there. However, if he's not able to continue doing his work, then he should be removed. Then maybe he should go out to retirement. And it's interesting that he says, the Sfasema says over here, that he says that age is really not a subjective situation. We have to look at every person differently. Some people are still young at a certain age and able to do things. And he says more than that. He says, in our time, he says 80 years old is considered old. In our times, it's even Baruch Hashem later. He says, in the time of Adam Rishon, where people lived hundreds of years, 80 wasn't old. But then, there's another beautiful pshat that I saw. The Gemara says, Asarad, the Mishnah says, in Perkei Avos, Perkei Mishnah Vav, Asarad Dvaram Nivru Be'erev Shabbos Be'en Hashmashos. There were 10 things that were created Erev Shabbos Be'en Hashmashos. One of those things is Eloi Shel Avram Avinu. Why was it necessary? The aisle that Avram Avinu used by the Akedah was a regular aisle. Why was it have to be created at that time? So he says, if we look at Shesh Shmei Bereishis, until when Avram Avinu brought Akedah, it was thousands of years. He says that when did age become a factor in this world? So he suggests age became a factor in this world when Adam and Chava ate from the Eitz Hadas. This animal, and therefore we have the concept that we just learned in the Gemara of Iskin. But when we have an animal that was this animal of Eloh Shel Avram Avinu, which was created after the Aver, the Eitz Hadas, so this animal is not connected, is not subject to the age limitations? Does it have zikna? So the Eibishter, the Kaddish Baruch Hu, specifically created this animal at that time, so it doesn't get, that it should be an animal that doesn't get old. If it's animal that doesn't get old, it could be used many, many years later for the Akedah. Says the Gemara, what's pshat in the Braisa? Ella, actually nifkam mezbeach, any animal that were designated before the mezbeach became broken, v'akach nifkach psulim. So we see from here that even though the animal wasn't slaughtered, it was dochi because it was not usable, it remains dochi. Says the Gemara, v'lav terutz kemetarz. Says the Gemara, we see that we had to amend this Braisa to make it understandable. Ema says the way to understand the Braisa, Rav is going to say that anything that was nishchatu, Rav agrees as he began that any animal that was slaughtered before while the Mizbeach was disrepaired, the remains disqualified forever. Ask the Gemara of Amar of Gidl Amar Rav, Mizbeach Shenekar Ed Mizbeach was taken out, the Mizbeach HaPnimi, on which they bring the Ketoris, was removed from its place. The Aloch is Maktir and Ketoris B'mekoymai. We could do Ketoris on its place, even on the spot where the Mizbeach belongs, even though it's not there. The Gemara is assuming that the same would be by the Mizbeach HaChitzin, that even though the Mizbeach, something happened to it, this got disrepaired, the Aloch should still be that you could be able to do all the avoidus on that Mizbeach as if it was still okay. So why did Rav say that the Mizbeach, that's Pogum, could not be used? Answers the Gemara, Kedama Rava. Right, Rav explained elsewhere, we're going to have it soon, Maidai Rav Yehuda B'domim. Rav Yehuda said that even Rav Yehuda that says, as we're going to learn, that Shlomo HaMelech made the Ritzbah, the floor of the Azorah, Kodesh, even though he made the floor of the Azara Kodesh, the Zrikas Adam cannot be done on the floor. The Zrikas Adam has to be done on the Mizbeach, and therefore if the Mizbeach is not as broken, then the animal cannot be brought as a carbon. Hachinami, Moida Rabba Daman, that even if you maybe could use the spat on it, but you can't to Zrikas Adam, and that's why this animal became unusable, and Rav agrees that if it was already slaughtered, it remains unusable. And I saw that the Meshech Chochmah says there's a makar for this in the Torah, because the Tosuk says, as domam tizrik ala mizbeach. What is the Torah saying, as domam tizrik ala mizbeach? That it has to be done specifically on the mizbeach. Zrik Saddam can't be done anywhere else. I also saw that some suggest, the Shas Chuv Silchus Tanis, that maybe the halacha of Ketoris doesn't have to be done on its exact spot of the Mizbeach HaPnimi. And the reason why Ketoris is that's the halacha about Ketoris, because we have a precedent that the Ketoris is not done in the proper spot. In the Mizbeach HaPnimi. And that's by the Ketoris on Yom Kippur. But maybe regarding other things, the halacha will be that it has to be done strictly on the Mizbeach. Says the Gemara, my Rabbi Yehuda. So we just quoted the opinion of Yehuda, and the Gemara wants to know what does that mean. Says Mother Tanya, the Braisa discusses the time that Shlomo HaMelech inaugurated the Beis Hamikdash that he had built. And the pasuk says, "Biyamu Kiddush HaMelech as Toicha Chatzar Shlef Nebeis Hashem." That day, Shlomo HaMelech sanctified everything that was inside, because says the Gemara, because at that point, Kimizbeach and the Choshes as Shlef Nei Hashem, the Mizbeach and the Choshes that Moshe Rabbeinu had made, Kot Machilas Ha'Oila Besamilchas Chavah Shlomim, was too small to hold all the kapanis. Says the Gemara, Dvarim K'ksom de Rav Yehuda. The Rav Yehuda explains the pasuk simply. There was not enough room on the Mizbeach for all the kapanis that Shlomo HaMelech wanted to bring in inaugurating the Mizbeach, and that's why he had to designate that even on the floor of the Azara, they could bring Kabbonis. Amalei Rav Yossi, says Rav Yossi, how could we say that that Mizbeach was too small? For like Klanemar, doesn't the Pasuk say, Aleph Oilish Yalish Shlema Mizbeach Ahu, that in the Mizbeach and the Choshes, the Moshe Rabbeinu, Shlema Melech was able to bring 1,000 Kabbonis on one day. When Klai Yisrael entered Eretz Yisrael, they had the Mishkan in Gilgal. After 14 years of taking over Eretz Yisrael, they built the Mishkan in Shiloh. And the Mishkan in Shiloh stood for 369 years, until the time of Eli, when that Mishkan was destroyed. And then they put up a Mishkan in Noiv. And after Shlomo Melech destroyed the city of Noiv, they put up a Mishkan in Givon. The amount of time that the Mishkan was in Noiv and Givon is 57 years. And says the Tosfos Yontov in explaining this Mishnah, that in the fourth year of Shlomo being king, he put away the original Mizbeach, and he built the Beis HaMikdash. And this Pasuk says that Shlomo HaMelech brought all these Kabbonis. It says Tosfos Yontov that the Gemara is assuming that this is the Mizbeach that the Moshe Rabbeinu built, that on which he brought 1,000 Karbis. Vila Beis Alamin, continues the Gemara, in the Beis HaMikdash, who I'm of Yizbach Shlomo Zevach HaShlomo Shazavach L'Vashem, Boka Esrim Shnaim Aleph, V'Tzoyim Meiv Esrim Aleph, that in the day of the inauguration of the Beis HaMikdash, Shlomo HaMelech brought 142,000 Kabbonis. Kshatam Agil L'Cheshman Oilus L'Minyan Amis, he says, if you start making calculation, how many Kabbonis could be brought on every Amma, and how many Amis was the Mizbeach that Shlomo HaMelech built bigger than the Mizbeach and the Choshes of Moshe, Zeh Golem Zeh, the Mizbeach that Shlomo built was much larger than the Mizbeach that Moshe Rabbeinu had, and on Shlomo Mizbeach, you could have put 400,000 Kabbonis on one day. So, if that's the case, what's the problem? Asked the Gemara Kot Mahachal. What does it mean that that the Mizbeach was too small? Says the Gemara, what he meant to say was, you want to say a person is a midget, but you don't want to embarrass him. So, but you'll say he's very short, because you don't want to say explicitly that he's Pasul Avoda. Here too, the Pasuk is trying to tell us that when Shlomo HaMelech built his Mizbeach, the Mizbeach that Moshe Rabbeinu built stopped being used. But instead of saying it in such a explicit way, it says, Katan Mihachel, it's small, but that isn't the world. That isn't the reason. And the Gemara explains, Rabbi Yehuda, how does he address Shapakam Rabbi Yossi? Rabbi Yossi makes a fair point. Why is the Pasuk saying that it was too small? Says the Gemara, Yehuda l'tamei d'amah, Mizbeach she'asa Moshe gadol haya. According to Rabbi Yehuda, Moshe Rabbeinu's Mizbeach was actually larger. And therefore, the machlokes here is, if Moshe Rabbeinu's Mizbeach was larger, then Shlomo Mizbeach will not be big enough to hold all the Kabbonis. And the Gemara explains, the Tanya, the Braisa, speaks about the Mizbeach that Moshe Rabbeinu built. And the Pasuk says, Vasisa has Mizbeach, Atzei Shittim, Chomish Amas, Erev Chomish Amas Royach, Revua Yir Mizbeach. Says the Madvaram Kiksuvim de Reb Yossi. According to Reb Yossi, the Pasuk is to be understood that Moshe Rabbeinu built the Mizbeach, Chomish Amas, 5 by 5 Amas. Yudam and Namakan Revua. Reb Yehuda says, the Pasuk uses the word Revua by the Mizbeach of Moshe. The Pasuk speaks, as we mentioned previously in Yecheskel, about the Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi. And the Pasuk describes that Mizbeach, and the Pasuk says, Revua. The Pasuk says, V'ariel, Shtem Asra Oirech, V'shtem Asra Rochav, Revua El Aber Revav. So we have Gzeri Shova. Ma'ala Halon, he says, when we speak about the Mizbeach of Yecheskel, Me'am Tzoysa HaYimayit, when we measure it, we look from the middle, there were 12 amas to each side. Afkan, when we speak here about the 5 amas, was 5 amas from each side. So according to this, the dimensions of the Mizbeach of Moshe Rabbeinu was 10 by 10. So yes, we have to eliminate 1 amma. We have to deduct 1 amma for the place where we had the corners. We have to deduct an amma for where the Kohanim would walk. So it wasn't 10. 5 on each side is 10. We have to eliminate 2 on each side, so it'll be down 6. So according to this, the Mizbeach of Moshe Rabbeinu was 36 square amma. And in that space, the Pasuk said a few moments ago, Shlomo HaMelech was able to bring 1,000 kabbanis. So on Shlomo HaMelech's Mizbeach, we would only be able to bring 11,000 kabbanis. And as we saw, Shlomo HaMelech brought 142,000 kabbanis. So that's why Rabbi Yehuda said that Shlomo HaMelech had no choice but to be Mekadosh as the Ritzbah, to make the floor of the Azara Kodesh, that he could bring the Kabbanis on it. For Hassam, and says the Gemara Menolon, we said that the Mizbeach was 12 Amos on each side. How do we know that? The Ksiv, because the Pasuk says, V'ariel, Shtem Esrei Erech, V'shtem Esrei Roevchach, Roech Revu'al Abarevov. V'tanya, Shtem Esrei Erech, V'shtem Esrei Roechav L'kol Ruach. It was 12 by 12. Maybe it was just plain 12 by 12. Shoyim al Abarevov, from here we learn that we measure it from the middle. So that's why he says, so that's how he came to say the same thing as regarding the Mizbeach of Moshe Rabbeinu. It wasn't a total of 5 by 5. It was 5 measured from the middle. It was 5 measured from the middle. That means entirely was 10 by 10. And as we explained, then it won't be big enough to do what we have to do.